Accession number 20342, Reel 2.
Dave McCutcheon, Reel 2. You were telling me about the mortars.
Yeah, the mortars were usually attached to S Company. The only other mortars we had were the small 2-inch mortars, which weren't a lot of good, but we also were issued with the American bazookas. And they were quite often used to fire into the side of a hill and use them as shrapnel. So to spread the stones and everything else flying around, and that caused quite a lot of mayhem amongst them.
Now, going back, you were at Happy Valley.
Yeah.
Any other memories from Happy Valley?
It wasn't until July we had a remembrance and commemoration service up there where all the regiments that were in that area came and took part, and the Ulster Rifles had a marble slab put up with the name of the regiment and everything there. But then later on, the Koreans were going to build in that piece of ground just north of Seoul, and now the monument is now back in the regimental depot at Ballymena in Northern Ireland. It's sitting on a plinth there. One side has got the Royal Ulster Rifles, another side has got the 8th Hussars, another has got the there was about four regiments had a piece carved on each side, but now the whole thing has been brought back to Northern Ireland and is at Ballymena.
Were you injured at all? Happy
no, I was very lucky. The only injury I got was a slight nick on the leg, but nothing to worry about. I was told to stick a plaster on it and forget it.
What was the nick from?
I don't know what it was from. It could have been a splinter or a bit of shrapnel or whatever. But it didn't cause me any problem. And it hasn't since either. Yeah.
What happened to you after Happy Valley?
Well, we were chasing around up and down the peninsula, advancing. That was when our good friend was going to drop the atom bomb on North Korea and China. And fortunately, Mr. Attlee, he managed to coax them around not to, because I think none of us would be here now if it had been. It wasn't until a few months ago I learned that the Americans had 3 atom bombs after the war. They dropped 2 on Japan, and they used 1 as a test. So they didn't have any atomic weapons to take on Korea. So we would have been left in the cart, I think, one way or another.
What are your next memories?
Then we went all the way up to Pyongyang and fiddled around there. And then we retreated down the whole peninsula again until we come back over the Imjin River. And we finished up actually on the 38th parallel, where the whole thing had taken off from in the first instance. And we had been told that all the United Nations will push all the Koreans, the North Koreans, will push them right up into China, and that'll be it. But they didn't. The Chinese came in, and they had masses of people. So they were able to push us back, and push us back they did. And then we left in October 51 and went to Hong Kong.
But what about the Battle of the Imjin? Because you're in.
Well, yeah, that was. It was one of those that you couldn't really pin anything down on. It was fluctuating all over the place. But there was quite a lot of killed and injured there. But we were still doing our jobs to the best of our ability.
Were you still a stretcher bearer on the...
Yep, that's right, yeah.
Which was the worst experience, on the Imjin or at Happy Valley?
No, I think at Happy Valley, first of all, we didn't know what was happening. We hadn't been tried, put it that way. But the next time, there was so many more of them that was a bit frightening as well. They seemed to have thousands, total masses of men, and there was nothing you could do about it. And I think if they had really pushed, if it hadn't have been for the fact that the Americans had air power, unlimited air power, they would have been pushed completely off the South Korea peninsula. The Americans had such massive firepower in the air, that's what held us on that strip of ground. Because the whole place, it's only a long finger of land sticking out into the sea. And they were able to push so many people on there. They were unstoppable, really.
And which platoon or company were you personally attached to?
I was in three different companies. I was an HQ company because that's where all the stretcher bearers, that's where the pipes were. It was always HQ company. And then I got attached to A company at one time. Charlie Orr, I think the CSM name was. Then I went to D company, which was Andy McConville, Sergeant Major Andy McConville. And the last one, who was I? Was it? I believe it was B Company, and I think the company commander name was May, a Major May. There was actually two Major Mays in the Ulster Rifles. There was Major I.A. May, and we used to call him Immediate Action. And the other brother was Major T.E. May, and we used to call him Tail End. Not very descriptive of him. But they were really nice men. Yeah. They were good company commanders.
Who were your particular friends in the battalion?
Well, I went with one from the town of Oma. And we met up and we were in Colchester. He got married in Colchester. And I got married in Colchester. And he was killed out there. Jimmy Donnelly, his name was.
How did that come about?
Well, we don't really know because we find him several weeks afterwards, and he was about 3 or 4 miles away from where most of the action had taken place. We don't know whether he had been captured, taken away and shot, or whether he had tried to get away and somebody had bumped him off. Nobody really knew the ins and outs of it. But he was the best mate I had. Yeah. He was a bugler. He was in the bugle section.
What did you think of the other Allied troops in Korea?
It's difficult to really tie them down. Some of them were good, and some of them shouldn't have been there at all. I mean, at first, the Americans, the one thing, if they heard that a Chinaman was on the road 7 miles away, they were heading for the south. They didn't hang around or put up a fight or anything. The people that did put up a fight were the like of the Kiwis, the Australians, the Turks. They were all right. But it was always the British. If the Americans wanted something done, they used to divide us up. We were never as a what you call a real full fighting unit. It was always send a company over there to that village and hold on to it, And then the next thing you get, oh, load these men up in a three-tonner and off they go 20 miles the other way. And it was chaotic. The Americans just seemed to think, let's get in a truck and as long as the damn thing drives, put your foot down and go. I never, ever have had any feelings regarding the Americans. That's why I was hoping, even in the Gulf War and things like that, that we were able to keep them separated, because it had been absolute chaos.
Did you see anything of the plight of the Korean civilians?
You saw the Korean civilians as you were coming out. They were waving the yin and yang flag. But as soon as the North come in line, it was the communist flag. They changed them as quick. I'm sure they had a sewing machine sitting there ready to stitch them up. Yeah.
Did you ever fall sick in Korea?
Not really, because we were pumped so full of different medicines. It was unbelievable. They give us sleeping sickness. We were injected with all sorts of yellow fever, you name it, they had got it. Some of the blokes did have problems with the heat and mosquitoes during the summer. Some of them used to break out in huge boils with the mosquito bites. They were really nasty looking. In fact, I think they had to take some of them back to Japan to give them treatment. And I don't know actually whether they went back home or whether they stayed somewhere like Japan. But I know I've gone in, I've come across a little pond. I don't know where it was, somewhere in Korea. It was in the summertime, it was quite warm, we were sweating. And somebody said, right, you two keep an eye open and we'll go in and have a dip. And about six of us went in, and I was the first one to come out, and I was covered from top to toe in blood. And a friend of mine said, for God's sake, just sit down and keep quiet. Now, don't do anything. And he said, where's your cigarettes? And I thought, crafty devil, he wants a quick smoke. He said, come on, light one up. And he lit one up, took a couple of pulls off it, and he held the cigarette to these
leeches.
Well, they were like leeches, yeah. And my body was covered. I was totally red. And yet the Korean children could go in there and they never took any notice of them, the leeches. But we were covered up to our neck. I don't know why that is. It must be something we eat. They're like the sweet meat. Homegrown Irish beef. Yeah.
Was there anything that you liked about Korea?
I can honestly say no. I've never wanted to go back again. No, never.
Did you not like the summers?
No, I didn't like. The thing was, in the summer there, everything was so dry. There's just a massive dust. You always knew a British Army convoy going over a hill. Each wagon, each three-tonner, on the hook, the towing hook, was a biscuit tin, which they used to brew up, and you could spot them 10 miles away. You see a line of lorries coming along and you think, my God, who do they belong to? And you just get the binoculars, have a quick look, and sure enough, all biscuit tins underneath, ready for brewing up. Yeah. It was like in Pyongyang when they sent us up to get water. There was nobody on the way up, and we were told, right, get on the road, just drive straight up the road until you come to a bridge. Cross the bridge, turn left, go down alongside the river edge, fill your bowsers up, and get back as quickly as possible. Well, we got up there. There was no bridge. We had to get two or three big wooden planks across, and we drove across on them. We all got stuck in with buckets because what the Americans had done when they were leaving, they'd got their automatic weapons and blew everything to smithereens, so we were scooping pints of water out of the different containers that we could get. And we did manage to get one bowser full. And the Americans had shot every piece of purifying equipment to smithereens. And we were just lucky that we had the sense to fill up, you know, with buckets and cans and tins and what have you, and we got a bowser load and brought it back. But that was one of the things that was short there, was water. You're always being sent away on a wild goose chase to find water. Yeah.
Did you feel that the Allies were doing a good job in Korea?
Well, my opinion of it was that nothing was coordinated or organized. You never knew what you were going to run into or who you were going to meet. They all seemed to have their own little bits of the war to fight, and what you were doing didn't really matter to them. It was one of the most cockeyed places to be. There was no definite organization or anywhere where you could clamp down and say, right, we've got to do this.
So you said you went to Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, did you see, were you in any other active theatres of war?
No, fortunately not. No. Went to Hong Kong, and then they were forming up the 2nd Battalion of the Royal Enniskillen Fusiliers to go to Kenya. And I was sent back from Hong Kong to the UK. And in actual fact, I come back to Colchester, I finished up in the same barrack room as I had left.
You started off in the Royal Enniskillen Fusiliers.
Yeah, and then
in Korea, you were in the Royal Ulster Rifles.
When what happens in those days was you join the Irish Fusiliers, the Ulster Rifles, the Enniskillen Fusiliers. They are the three Irish regiments of the line, right? But if you whichever one you join, if any of the others are short-handed, they can say, right, you are in the Irish Fusiliers, you're now being transferred to the Royal Ulster Rifles. And that's what they do.
So when were you transferred to the
This was, let me get it right.
When you're in Colchester?
Yeah, when I was in Colchester. The whole battalion then was shipped out from Colchester to, from Omagh, right out to Colchester, and that became the 1st Battalion, the Royal Ulster Rifles.
And when you were on the reserve, were you ever recalled to the colours?
No.
How do you feel now about having served in the army in Korea?
Oh, I don't feel any bitterness about it. It has been an experience, but I often wonder, all these different little illnesses that you keep getting over the years, has that had something to do with it? I mean, they're always pumping you full of sleep and sickness dope and all sorts of things that cropped up.